Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. My guest today is Jeff Millison. We're going to hear all about how he came to know his Messiah. Stay tuned, and I'll be right back. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you're in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop, now open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 4, and Fridays by appointment only. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit the congregational building.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall live in peace. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Shalom, 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 shalom. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom.
Of course, that was the wonderful voice of Jonathan Sattel. Where would I be without Jonathan? He's been with me the whole way, ever since 1997, right here on Bagels and Blessings. All right. Here's Joshua Aaron and Shy Soul, Isaiah 53.
No form or beauty that we should even look at him. Rejected and despised, our faces turned away. But by his bruises we were he was wounded because of our sin, the suffering servant, he was wounded. Because of our sin, he never deserved it. By his bruises we
This is Joshua Aaron, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord. And they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. 585-889-7840. Well, I got to thank my buddy Wayne on Facebook. He asked people to post their favorite Shabbat songs, and I forgot about this one. I've always loved it. It's from Steve McConnell, and it's called Yom Shekalo Shabbat.
Yom Shekelo Shabbat, a time that is all Shabbat, a yom that is ever shalom, that will never, Yom Shekelo Shabbat. the golden glow of two lights. Escape the past, embrace tonight. Candle flicker at dusk vaguely reveals God's gift for us. The day will come, believe the day will come. The day will come, be sure the day will come. Yom Shekel O Shabbat, a time that is all Shabbat, a Yom that is ever Shalom that will never. Yom Shekel O Shabbat. Unto Adam was entrusted creation, and to his son HaShabbat is his kingdom. The day will come, believe the day will come. The day will come, be sure the day will come. Shabbat, a time that is all Shabbat, a Yom that is ever Shalom that will never. Yom Shekel O Shabbat, a time that is all Shabbat, a Yom that is ever Shalom that will never. Yom Shekel O Shabbat, a time that is all Shabbat, is ever Shalom that will never. Yom Shekel O Shabbat, a time that is all Shabbat, a Yom that is ever Shalom that will never. Yom Shekel.
This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned for an exciting interview with Jeff Millinson. In the meantime, here's a song that touches me deeply. Paul Wilbur, In Your Presence, O God.
That's where I'm strong, in your presence, oh Lord my God, in your presence, that's where I belong. Oh,
Shalom, this is Paul Wilbur, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. at our new location, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. La 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 la. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God.
That was Greg Silverman, and next up, Sue Samuel.
I will lift
up my voice.
I will lift up my voice and be glad.
I will lift
up my voice and praise You through the good and the bad. Though You slay me, I'll put my hope Your word. Naked I was born, and naked I'll die, but You're my portion, Lord. Yes, You're my portion, Lord. I will lift
up my voice.
I will lift up my voice and be glad.
I will lift
up my voice and praise You through the good and the bad. When You stretch me, but not crushed, struck down, not destroyed. So I'll sing hallelujah. Yes, I'll sing hallelujah. I will lift up my voice. I will lift up my voice and be glad. I will lift up my voice and praise you through the good and the bad. Bad. Yes, praise you through the good and the bad. I will praise you through the good and the bad.
Shalom, this is Sue Samuel, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
And now here's Kathy Schuster with Garment of Praise. Are you wearing your garments of praise? Hope so.
I am a new creation.
Again, that was Kathy Schuster with Garment of Praise. Many of you remember that there used to be a messianic singing group called Kol Simcha. Oh, I don't know, they had anywhere from 12 to 20 people. They wore costumes. They traveled all around the world singing fabulous songs. And Kathy Schuster was part of that group for a very long time. And now her family has settled in Colorado, and Kathy's written lots of great songs, and I like to play them on the air from time to time. Anyway, it's time for me to share my interview now with Jeff Millinson. Enjoy, darling, enjoy. Jeff Millinson, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, I'm really excited to have someone who's very familiar with the Messianic movement, and I have so many questions. Oh my goodness. But let's start at the beginning. Tell me a little bit about your upbringing. For example, did you grow up in a typical Jewish home?
Well, I think it was probably a pretty typical Jewish home in the United States, in that we were not extremely religious, but our Jewish identity was important to us. And I think, especially to me growing up, my Jewish identity was important. And that was primarily kind of formulated through reading a lot of books. One of my favorite authors was Chaim Potok.
Oh, great.
And we would also go and spend holidays like Pesach at my grandmother's house. She lived in Los Angeles. And so being Jewish was very important to me, but like I said, we were not a particularly religious family, and I think in some ways that's very typical.
Oh, sure. Did you ever hear anything about Jesus at all growing up, other than just maybe in a curse word?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I think that God kind of paved the way in many ways for me to know about Jesus. When I was about 10, I had my first exposure to the Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, and I really fell in love with the books and, in a sense, fell in love with Aslan, the lion. Now, I had no idea that those were Christian books or Christian allegories till I was about 15, and someone said, well, you know, the Chronicles of Narnia is a Christian allegory, don't you? And I said, no, you're kidding. So then I reread all the books very carefully and decided, okay, well, maybe it is Christian allegory, but you know, they're still good. So that was one thing. But I also had a really good friend growing up who was a committed believer in Jesus. And we would often have discussions about who Jesus was. And, you know, at one point I remember telling him, you know, I think Jesus was really a good guy and a good teacher, and I, you know, like the things that he taught, but there must be something wrong with Christianity, given all the things that have, bad things that have been done in Jesus' name. And, you know, knowing Jewish history kind of gave me an insight into that, and for some time that was really sort of blocking my view of, you know, being able to believe in Jesus was just, you know, unfortunately, the things that have been done in his name to the Jewish people.
You know, Jeff, I think a lot of Jewish people have that same attitude. Was your friend able to give you a good answer to that question, or have you found an answer?
Well, yeah, you know, I think he did give me a good answer, and it was basically something along the lines of, you know, if I come up to you, he said, and slap you and say, in the name of my grandmother, I'm slapping you. He said, that's not really a problem with my grandmother, it's a problem with me. You know, it doesn't mean my grandmother is bad. And I thought, okay, well, yeah, that's a good answer, you know, temporarily. But, you know, it wasn't enough to make me immediately believe in Jesus at that point. But it wasn't much longer after that than that I really had an experience that did lead me to believe in Yeshua, to believe in that he was the Jewish Messiah.
Oh, do tell.
Well, my parents got divorced my senior year in high school, and I grew up in Southern California, so I decided I'm going to get as far away as possible when I go to college. So I was accepted at Yale University and decided to go there on the other side of the country. But it was really kind of a difficult experience for me. A lot of the kids that were there were from private high schools and seemed to have a kind of a whole different culture that I was used to. And so I found myself not doing as well as I thought I could. And it was in my start of my sophomore year that, I was having some academic difficulties and I couldn't really understand why. But about the same time, my older sister, who always seemed to do basically whatever she wanted, she had been traveling with her boyfriend. They were living in New Zealand, and they were hippies and vegetarians. But one day, I got a letter from her that said kind of something like, "Hold it, stop the presses. Daryl and I have both become Christians."
Oi!
And wow, yeah. So I was really very surprised because, I had always been the religious one in the family. And, I couldn't understand exactly why. But as I read her letter, I realized, wow, her life has really changed. And to kind of to top it all off, she and her boyfriend said, "We're going to stop living together until God gives us the go-ahead to get married." And I thought, wow, that's really impressive that my sister made this decision on the basis of believing in Jesus, that they're going to stop living together. And I was very impressed with that. And I thought, okay, it's real for her. And maybe I've never really made up my own mind about Jesus. And I decided at that point, I really need to make up my own decision about who he is and not just accept that because I'm Jewish, I shouldn't believe in him. So I called my friend that I was mentioning earlier. I called him one night, very late at night, and we had an hour and a half discussion on the phone about whether Jesus really could be the Messiah, the promised one of Israel and the savior of the world. And at the end of that conversation, I said to my friend, here's what I'm going to do. I do believe in God, and I'm going to ask him to show me whether Jesus is the Messiah or not.
Good idea.
Yeah. Then I went to bed. Well, the next day, I was scheduled to have a final exam. I hadn't been to the class in a while, and I knew I needed to kind of bone up, get up early, study for that exam, cram for it, because I'd be taking it that afternoon. Well, when I woke up, the sun was coming in through my bedroom window, but the only problem was that particular window faced west, and it was already 1 in the afternoon. I had overslept, and I knew that I was falling short even of my own standards, and it suddenly occurred to me, if I'm falling short of my own standards for myself, how much more am I falling short of God's standards for me?
Oh.
I realized I'm missing the mark here. And I knew enough about sin to know that one of the definitions of sin is missing the mark, falling short of God's standards. And suddenly it just became very clear to me, I need to ask Jesus, I need to ask Yeshua into my life. And so I did. I prayed there right in my dorm room and asked Jesus into my life. And that was back in January of 1973, a little while ago.
Wow. I can't imagine how your parents must have felt, first your sister, then you.
Well, it was very interesting. My dad was not happy about it, but turned out that my mom and my younger sister kind of followed suit, especially in light of my older sister's letter. So when I came home that fall, I discovered that both my mom and younger sister had also become believers in Jesus.
Praise God. Wow.
Yeah, it was exciting. And I found out later that's pretty rare.
Yeah.
That kind of ricocheted through my family. It was a very exciting time for me.
Wow. Well, Jeff, tell me a little bit about how your life changed after you decided that Yeshua is the Messiah. I know your life was never the same, so tell us what happened.
Right. Well, one thing was I found out about Messianic Jewish music. I heard about the group called Lamb, and I heard about the group called The Liberated Wailing Wall. I bought their albums. I started listening to the music, and it was really exciting to me to hear. I've always loved music, played piano since I was 9, and it was exciting to me to hear music that reflected the faith in Yeshua and Jesus in a very Jewish way. Minor chords and everything, and I loved the sound of that. So I started listening to that music. I also became part of a fellowship in which I really grew in the Lord. So that was for about the next 7 years. I was in Southern California just growing in the Lord. And eventually I did go back to college. I went to Cal State Fullerton and got my degree, my BA in linguistics in 1980. And I was all set to become a Bible translator. That's what I thought I wanted to do with my life.
But that's pretty impressive.
Well, I always enjoyed languages, and I thought that might be a good thing to do, and that's what I wanted to do with my life. Well, it was interesting, though. The summer of 1979, I found myself in Seattle, Washington, taking some linguistics classes, and lo and behold, the Liberated Wailing Wall music team was in town, and I ran into them. And the leader of the team actually recruited me because he said, hey, next year our team is going to go on a world tour. Would you like to be part of that? And I said, sure. Sounds good to me.
Sure.
So I decided, yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to sign up. And right after I graduated with my master's degree, 3 days later, I was on the road in Pennsylvania with the team, and I spent a year and a half with them. And during that time, yes, we did go on that world tour, and it was exciting. We went all around the world to English-speaking countries, but we also included Israel. We sang at several Messianic congregations in Israel. We also sang at a couple of secular kibbutzim. And we had the opportunity to share our faith in Yeshua with many of the Israelis who were interested in, you know, just who we were and why we believed. It was a very exciting time. And I've had the privilege of going back to Israel a number of times over the years. And it's always a great place to be.
Wow. You certainly have not led a dull life now, have you?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. And, I think, you know, it's always an exciting life when you know the Lord and when you're willing to let Him take you where He wants you to go.
Absolutely. You know, I love to talk to people who have been involved in music because Messianic music has changed so much from those early days of Lamb and Israel's Hope and Kol Simcha. And I'm wondering, how do you feel about the changes, and do you like them, or do you think wish it would go back to the way it was?
You know, I like the changes. So I think we should be willing to embrace the new, but not give up on the old. And whenever I have a chance to sing one of the older Messianic songs, like For God So Loved the World, or Come Let Us Go Up, or Great and Wonderful, I always love that opportunity, and I'm glad for that music to be around. But I know that times change, and Messianic music has become a lot more sophisticated in some ways. And then, of course, there's this whole strain of worship music coming from Israel that is just fantastic, and I love listening to it. There are just a number of albums that have come out over the years from congregations in Israel, and I'm excited about that because it's a different sound and it's an Israeli sound, and it, you know, just kind of goes to prove that yes, Israeli Jewish people are coming to faith in Yeshua and expressing that faith through new music, which I think is great.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Now, since you've been around a while, like me. You've had, well, you know, we're still young, but anyway, you've had many experiences to talk with people and share the good news. And I'm just wondering how you have dealt with people that, you know, our people are so stiff-necked, as you know. We would be, you know, we're willing to believe that God parted the waters and people marched through on dry land, and we're willing to believe that a man was in the belly of a whale for 3 days, but you ask us to believe that God had a son that died for our sins, and he rose on the third day, and suddenly, oy, that can't be. How do you deal with people that just are so selective in what they choose to believe? I mean, I wish that, you know, you can't make somebody believe that Yeshua is a Messiah, but it's frustrating to me that I can't reach some people.
Sure. Well, you know, that always happens. I think that part of telling the good news is to listen to where that person is coming from. What are their objections? Are they afraid that they'll be disowned by their family? Are they afraid that to believe in Yeshua would be inconsistent with the rest of the beliefs in their life? Or what? What is the real objection? And I think sometimes people may put up kind of a smoke screen, and if we accept that and think, oh, well, there's just no point in, you know, going further and sharing with this person, we may really miss what's going on in their heart. And I always enjoy just talking one-on-one with somebody. Sometimes it's somebody I met sitting next to me on a plane. And just finding out what are the objections, and also finding out, hey, what do I have in common with this person? Maybe we both like the novels of Chaim Potok. Maybe we've both read Narnia. Maybe whatever it might be, finding that common ground and then kind of talking with them on that basis. And then, of course, bottom line is prayer. We always need to be praying for people. And I think someone once said, you know, you can always, even if you can't talk to somebody about God, you can always talk to God about that person. And I think we need to remember that, to pray for people, even if they seem so far, so distant, because miracles do happen in people's lives, and God does show up. And he has a way of convincing people that he's real.
That's true. And I like what you said earlier, because I think that finding what we have in common with people and taking the time to listen and be their friend is key. Otherwise, they just think we're out there to try to, you know, here's that word. They think we're out there to convert them or try to make them do something. And that's contrary to just being a friend and listening and encouraging. So That's a good point. I'm glad that you said that.
Yeah.
Wow. How would you like us to be praying for you or your family or anything going on you want us to pray for?
Well, let's see. I don't know just how much to say, but someone in my extended family is ill. Actually, I can think of three people in my extended family or my wife's family that are not doing well health-wise, and so a prayer would be for them. I won't go into more details, but certainly that God would touch them with his healing power would be something that I would want people to lift up in prayer.
Absolutely. May God touch them. And I'm thinking of Isaiah 53, where it says, by his stripes we are healed. So may they be healed by the stripes of Yeshua. And certainly we'll be keeping them in prayer for sure. So are you still out on the West Coast?
Yes, still on the West Coast, living in the San Francisco Bay Area. As I mentioned, I grew up in Southern California, but now we're back in Northern California, in sometimes what they call Silicon Valley, between San Francisco and San Jose.
I see. And what's the attitude towards Messiah around those parts?
Well, I'd say on the part of probably on both Jewish people and Gentiles that it's not an area that has a lot of churches. It has some great churches, but I think it's a very busy place. A lot of people that work in technology companies, you know, you've probably heard their work schedule of 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week. And they're very busy. And I think that sometimes that work-life balance isn't really there for them. Unfortunately, the demands of, you know, technology companies are high. I think people are very into what their mental capacities can bring to them and how they can understand things through their own mind. Having faith and belief in something other than yourself sometimes may just seem a little bit out there and not, you know, that they're not really connected to that. So it can be a very busy place.
So your work is cut out for you, huh?
Yeah, that's right. But my wife and I are happy to be part of a fellowship, a good church that really believes in God's word. And also believes in taking that word out to people and sharing it with the community. And there's a lot of opportunity for outreach. So we're very happy to be part of that.
Praise God. And it's just wonderful that through the years and even now, you've really let God work through you. You've been using your gifts and talents to glorify the Lord. And, you know, I know that one day you will hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And it's really wonderful to talk with you and to hear your story. It inspires me. And I'm someone who's involved in music myself. And you make me want to go to my piano and start playing and singing more. So, you know, wonderful. I'm so glad that you've taken the time to talk with me. Do you have any parting words or anything else that we should know about you or anything else you want to say or share before we conclude?
Well, sure. You know, obviously 2020 has been a hard year for a lot of people, and everyone's probably more than very familiar with Zoom more than they might like. But I'm excited that my wife Amy and I have the opportunity to be part-time worship leaders for a congregation, a Messianic congregation in Southern California. And we've been doing that via Zoom since January. And it's really a blessing to be part of that congregation, even just over Zoom, because it's given us a lot of opportunity to share Messianic music. And I myself have written about 30 songs, many of them from the Psalms and almost all of them from Scripture. And it's given us an opportunity to sing some of those songs that I've created, as well as songs that many, many other people have written. And it's just really a joy to be involved in worshiping the God of Israel with his people.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm going to ask you to maybe to share some of those songs with me sometime offline, because, you know, I'm always looking for good songs. You know, I'd give you the credit for them, don't worry.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that.
All right, we'll talk. Well, again, Jeff, it's been such a pleasure to talk with you here on Bagels and Blessings, and I thank you so very much, and I hope that we can stay in touch.
That would be great. Thank you, Ethel.
All right. Well, shalom for now, my friend.
Shalom. Shalom Aleichem.
All righty. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Jeff Millinson, and I thought this would be a good time to play a song that he wrote. This is from the CD Behold Your God, Liberated Willing Wall, and the song is Psalm 139.
O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my even clothed me and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge of thee is too wonderful for me. It is too high, I cannot attain it.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Where could I go from your spirit?
Ethel Chadwick, you're listening to Bagels and Blessings, and I love that song. And while I'm at it, here's another song that was written by Jeff Melanson. It's called The God of Abraham. I want to thank you all for listening to the program today. I'm having a really great time, and I hope you are too.
It was the Lord who summoned Abram to a land he did not know, and said to you and your descendants, my favor I will show. I'll be your strength, I'll be your shield, I'll be the one who walks beside you, and through you I will bless all the families of the earth.
The God of Abraham, he is a living God, he is a saving God, and I will praise him, for he has given me abundant righteousness, and he is faithful.
Take now your only son, your Isaac, the one I've given thee, and go ascend to Mount Moriah and offer him to me. And so by faith he went forth, trusting in the great provider, and through the one who gave the lamb, we share the faith of Abraham.
The God of Abraham, he is a living God, he is a saving God, and I will praise him.
All right, we draw another week to a close. God bless you for now. And here's Phil Klein.
Yivarechech Adonai v'yismorecha Yair Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha Yes, Adonai, Panav Alecha, V'yasem Lecha, Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.